I invite all of you to take advantage, utilize the sermon notes, and you will find this QR code in front of you for your discretion. So please use that. Towards the end of the message and towards the end of the service, there will be time for Q&A. So please take note of that phone number to which you can submit your questions. We begin a brand new series in 2024, and we're going to call it How to Lose Weight. Now, before you think about, well, are we talking about body weight? No, not exactly. Not at all. We're talking about asking the question and answering it this way. Christmas has come. Christmas has gone. Why did the Son of God have to become man? Why did the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, why did he must become a person? And that's what we're going to answer throughout the whole series. And we're going to answer it this way. To help us to lose the weight of guilt, shame, the weight of God's wrath. And I wonder how many will show up for that Sunday. God's weight, the weight of God's wrath is pressing upon your souls. And last one is, how does Christ set us free from the weight of God's alienation? God is far, far away from you and me because of who we are and what we are and what we have done and what we are doing. And we are asked that question. Christ became a man to deliver us, to set us free from today, from guilt, from the weight of shame, from the weight of God's wrath, from the weight of God's alienation. And this morning is about sin. I'll be reading the word of the Lord, Romans chapter 3. It's a lengthy passage, so I ask you to stick with me and stay with me. There's so much in this passage. So let's go before the Lord, receiving the Holy Scripture. Hear the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, writing this letter to the church in Corinth, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive these words for ourselves. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. Look up here. So the Apostle Paul is saying, Jews, people who believe in God, Jews, people who obey the commandments of God, and the Gentiles, people who don't believe in God, or they're not born Jew, they don't follow the ways of the Scriptures, all of them have one common thing. They all feel the weight of their sin and guilt. They're all under the power of sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Not you. Not you. Not I. No one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. Their poison, the poison of vipers, is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Depressing. First Sunday of the new year. What a uplifting message, Pastor. But so far, bad news. But we get to the good news. Starting at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, the law meaning the Bible, the commandments of God, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, would you read this verse with me? Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Thank you. But now, here's more good news. But now, apart from the law, that is, obeying God's commandments, obeying the Ten Commandments, obeying the entirety of the Scriptures, apart from that, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. And then the Apostle Paul concludes his sermon by saying, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. How interesting. The law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I ask, pray, plead, demand that You use this sinner saved by grace to bring glory to our Father in heaven. Prepare the hearts, the ears of the hearers, that they may hear and be convicted by You, Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me start with the theme and the goal. Write these words. Jesus Christ set you free from the weight of guilt by His own righteousness. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God who became a child, so that He may, what? Set you free from the weight of guilt. And how does He do that? By His own righteousness. And I want to break it down into four main points. Number one, the power of sin is crushing your soul. I wonder, as we were reading this gloomy first part of the passage, I wonder how many of you are feeling, this is uncomfortable. This is weighty. This is depressing. And that's because The power of my sin, the sins that you commit, the sins that we sin against God with, they become weight over your souls. And that weight is crushing, suffocating your own souls. This is the bad news. Give me 5 minutes so that we can get to the good news. You cannot get to the good news of Jesus Christ apart from the bad news. Starting at verse 9, the Apostle Paul saying, hey, what shall we conclude then? Do we have, he's speaking as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Jew who believes in the grace of God, who believes and observes, adheres to every commandment written in the Bible. Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike, we are all under the power of what? Power of sin. Okay. You, every one of us, whether we acknowledge it or not, we are all under the power of sin. Thus saith the Lord. This is so important. No one becomes righteous in the sight of God without, apart from His grace. Let's continue. That's okay. Let me pause here. One thing that I really appreciate about Mosaic House Church is the fact that in the midst of us, the Holy Spirit sends all kinds of people. The name Mosaic, look over here. See all those tiles of mosaic pieces? They're all different colors, different shapes. Meaning, we all come from different journeys, different backgrounds. Some of us are churched. Some of us are unchurched. Some of us are seasoned followers of Christ. Some of us are seekers. Know very little about the Bible. What is important is that we are all being led to Jesus Christ. You see. So I really, really am thankful that in our midst, we have seekers asking questions, investigating who Jesus is. So to the first point, the power of sin is crushing your soul. Let's continue on. So there's in verse 10, no one is righteous. That is to say, no one is righteous. This is what God is saying. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. You may disagree. I can respect that. But I need to tell you, I need to present and represent Christ as to what he says. Victor Ko, you are not righteous. No one is righteous because there is no one who seeks God. Look at verse 12. All have turned away. They have turned away and they have become together worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And I will unpack that, okay, soon. So it goes on to say, we all feel the weight of our sin. Some of you might say, I don't. I don't feel the guilt. I'm righteous. I'm declared. How is it that I feel the weight of my sin and you don't? Possibly that's because you may not know what you are sinning against. So for example, I was driving at one time, not this morning, at one time, in my former life, I was driving in a 60-kilometer speed zone. But I never saw the sign. And I was doing 120. I never saw the sign, and therefore, I didn't think I was breaking the law, and therefore, I wasn't feeling any guilt. Got it? So if you are ignorant, you may not feel the weight of your sin. Or You know you're breaking the law, and yet you justify it. You know you're guilty, but you say, you know, I was at fault, but I was really tired. I was at fault. I am guilty as charged, but she pushed my buttons. Had she stopped, I would not have done what I did. So, yes, I am guilty, but, you see, we justify. We are ignorant, or we justify our actions. And therefore, we resist the weight of guilt. Now, here's another reason. This is Romans chapter 1. We suppress the truth. Repeat after me. We suppress the truth. And that's what God is saying in chapter 1. Because we have chosen our own way against God's way, we'd rather be our own God than serve the true God. And that is the number one sin. We suppress the truth that there is God, that God is good, and that God wants what's best for Him, best for us. And we suppress the truth. And how do we do it? I'm going to replace God. I'm going to place myself in the place of God. I'm going to sit upon the throne of my universe, and we suppress the truth. And that is a grievous mistake. Now, I need a volunteer. Oh, Nico, thank you so much. Everyone, let's thank Nico for being a good sport. Now, stand in the front, at the center. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to be me. See, I can't demonstrate this illustration as myself because I need someone else to do it. So you are going to pretend that you are me.
I'm Victor Kogais.
He says, I'm Victor Kogais. So lay on your back on the bench, please. And I'm going to find out how strong Victor is. This dumbbell weighs 30 pounds, okay? You got this?
Yeah, I can hold it.
You got this?
Yeah.
Victor, talk to me. You got this?
Yeah, I think so.
He says yes. Okay. Oh, you got that?
Yeah.
Victor, can you do a bench press with the dumbbells? Oh. Oh, not bad. Looking good, Victor. Okay. You feeling all right? Yes? Okay, now, whether he recognized the reality of God's truth or not, the Holy Spirit is saying, in his heart, he knows what is right and wrong. Okay? How are you doing?
Okay. Neck starting to hurt. It's like there's nothing there.
That's are you hurting?
My neck mostly.
He says his neck is hurting. Scoop down. That better?
That's better.
Much better. Can I put the waist on back on you?
Sure.
Okay. Hang on here. Let me get some more. Oh, okay. These are 40 pounds each. So let's do the math, boys and girls. How much? 40, 40, 30, 30. What is that? 120? 140. 140. How do you get 140?
What?
80 pounds plus 60 is what? 120. Here's what I want you to feel. Okay? Okay? Feel that. That heavy?
That's heavier than the other one over here.
Yeah, these are heavier than the other guys. Okay. Good? Okay, can I put these weights on you too?
Sure.
Right here? This good?
I think so.
Things you sure? How do you feel?
Oh, I feel that.
He says no more. All right, okay. Thank you. Hang on here, let me just take one at a time. I don't drop this on your face. Thank you, Nico. We did all that just to demonstrate this. Whenever we sin, and there are two types of sins, sins of commission, sins that we commit. We do which we shouldn't do. We break the law. We sin against God's holiness. Sin of commission. The second type is sin of omission. These are sins that the things that we should do, but we don't do. We omit. So both are equally sinful. Both are equally weighty in terms of their effects. We don't love God with all of our hearts. That's sin of omission. Thou shalt not covet, but we covet because we want to look a certain status. And therefore, whenever we sin against the holiness of God, there's a weight upon your soul. I want to thank Nico for demonstrating that. The person who captures this the best is Mark Twain, the great American author and satirist. He had a dream. In his dream, he had a colossal, gigantic Bible, as big as a house, laid upon his chest, just like what Nico was doing. And that Bible, the weight of his Bible, was crushing his rib cages. And he woke up. Okay? It doesn't take a psychoanalyst to figure out, to interpret what the dream was about. Mark Twain, he knew the standards of God's holiness, and yet he was not fulfilling. He was not obeying fully. He was not being the righteous person. And therefore, the weight of the Bible was crushing his ribcage. Friends, before I move on here, look. When you feel the weight of your guilt, it's a good thing. It is a good thing. If you don't feel the weight, that's a bad thing. And may the Holy Spirit use these words of a sinner to convict your soul that when you feel the weight of guilt, it is the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. I want to lead you to the good news. So therefore, I pray that you are not blinded by the weight of your sin, but that you recognize that you are under the weight. Because unless you recognize it, you will never get to the good news. So let's get to the good news. Number two, Jesus Christ set you free from the weight of guilt by his own righteousness. The theme and the goal is right in the middle, which is this, verse 21. Now, apart from the law, the expectations of God's holiness, you must be perfect as I am holy, thus saith the Lord. You must be holy as I am holy, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. That law requirements, there is good news. The righteousness of God has been made known. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's not something that you have acquired. It's not something that you have attained. It's not something that you have performed and gained and received on your own. No, you have received this through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, therefore. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely. Justified, this is a judicial terminology. You are declared, not that you have become righteous. You are declared righteous. It's like the judge saying, even though you are guilty, I'm going to pay the fine on your behalf and I'll let you go free. I justify you. Paid. Verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate, to display, to showcase his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those with faith in Jesus. By the grace of Jesus Christ, he set you free with his own righteousness. Let me break it down for you. Would you agree with me that Victor Koh, a sinner, cannot fully obey the requirements of the law of God? Would you agree? Would you also agree that even though Victor Koh might try his very best, he falls short of the glory of God because he fails sometimes? Would you agree? Okay. Would you also agree that he feels the weight of that guilt which crushes his soul? Would you agree? So therefore, the remedy, the goodness of Jesus Christ is this. Victor, it's not trying harder. It's not obeying God more fully. You cannot do it. You cannot obtain it. It is beyond your reach, every one of you. And therefore, God has to do it for you. Jesus Christ has to do it for you. So Christ, the only person, God himself becomes a man, and he fulfills all the requirements of the law of the Bible. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loved his neighbor as himself. He obeyed 100% all the requirements. And he imputes, that word means he transfers his righteousness to you, and to me. It's a gift. The Bible says, no one seeks God. You say, hang on. No. I'm not sure about that. Are we not all seeking God? I thought we were. And what Paul is saying is this. Let's be honest. Are you seeking God for God's sake? Or are you seeking God to get things from God? Why do you worship the Lord? Is it because you're going to get things in return? Why do you obey God? Is it because when you obey, you believe that God will bless you and your ways will be prosperous? Why do you serve? Is it because when you serve, you are going to gain certain level of righteousness? When you seek God for God's sake, you are loving God for who he is. You're not loving God to get things from God. Haven't you heard people who say, you know, I prayed really hard for my grandma who was sick, and God didn't heal her, so I stopped worshiping him. That person admitted, I wasn't seeking God. I was seeking things from God. And when I didn't get things from God, end of our relationship. I pray. I read the Bible, I serve, I do all these good things that God required, and God does not bless me. I am angry at him. What is that? You weren't seeking God for God's sake. You're seeking things from God. It's like when your wife asks you, dear husband, why do you love me? And if you say, well, honey, you make a great mom. Well, honey, you are really pretty. Well, honey, I love you because you make me feel happy. What are you saying? You don't love your wife for her. You just love the things that you get from her. It's the same thing. Do we seek God? So here, look, before I move on. Every other religion, every other philosophy in the world. Say this. Here's God. You seek God. You obey God. You observe the commandments, and you do all these good things, whether it be the nirvana, Allah, meditation, Shirley MacLaine. You do all these things. You do all these things to find your way to God. Jesus is the only person who says, no one seeks God. I have to seek you. He's the only God, and there's only one God, true God, who says, I have come down. I became a man to seek you. The reason you are sitting here, the reason you are hearing these words is, Jesus says, I must come to you. I must find you. I must seek you. That's the grace. Number three, let's move on. You must receive this grace through your faith. Grace is available. It's a gift by Christ, but you must receive it through faith. Listen, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who what? Who believe. Oh. There is no difference between Jew and Gentiles. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And let's jump to 24. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Friends, you must participate in this act of grace. You must reach out your hands of faith and receive grace. If God, when God is giving you his gift, you don't passively do nothing. You must actively open your soul, open your hands and say, oh, I need this. I want this. I desire it. Thank you. Thank you. Give it to me. I'm going to receive it. That receiving hand is your faith. You must believe. You must believe. Listen, let's say you do that blessing bow, right? Okay? And I'm giving you $100 in an envelope. You got to receive it. Open hands, actively, concretely. And that's faith. Number four. How do you know if you have true faith? Number four, your faith must prove itself with boasting and obedience. Verse 27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of a law that requires faith. What kind of faith? True faith, faith that saves. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by his faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Here's how you know that you have the saving faith. This is how you know that you are actively receiving the grace of Jesus Christ who set you free from the weight of guilt by boasting and obeying. Boasting. How many times did you hear me say today, I'm Victor Koh, a sinner, saved by grace of Christ? That's boasting. Boasting not in myself, but boasting in the grace of Christ. Boasting, you put spotlight on the acts of Jesus' grace. You demonstrate it, you display it, and you talk about it, and you let everyone know, I am so, so thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ. Do you boast? Do you boast in the Lord? Second, evidence, obedience. December 22nd, when we had our candlelight service, we had guests, lots of guests, some of them from the University of Alberta, students, they're seekers. One of them said, I heard the pastor say, we are all saved by grace. It's a gift. And then he followed it up with a question. Then why do we still need to obey God's commandments? If we are saved by, if we are accepted, loved by God through the grace of Christ, apart from obeying the laws, obeying the scriptures, then why do we still do it? We don't need to do it. And the Apostle Paul says, no, we uphold the law. We obey God's commandments for the right reasons now. Listen, let's suppose I'm your secretary, okay? Okay? And you are my boss. And you buzz me in. Hey, Victor, bring me a cup of cappuccino, please. 2 sugar, hold the cream. And I say, yes, boss. And I go and make the best cappuccino, and I bring it to you. Okay? Why? You're my boss. And the boss says, do this. And I do it out of obligation, right? Because you're my boss. And I want to be promoted. I want to get paid. So I obey the law. Got it? Okay? Now, you took an interest in me. We go out. And long story short, we get married. Okay? You're my wife. I'm your husband. Okay? But you're still my boss. You're still my boss. Work with me here. You're my boss, right? I'm your secretary, right? And I'm your husband. Got it? You say to me, Buzz, Victor, would you bring me a cup of cappuccino, 2 sugars, hold the cream? And I say, yes, boss. Okay? And I go make you cappuccino, the best ever. Now, I do it now out of love, not out of obligation. You see? I'm still doing the same thing. I'm obeying the law, but now I'll obey the law of God out of gratitude, out of joy, out of love. That's what obedience is. He already loves you. He already accepts you. He gives you his grace already. And therefore, you uphold the law, you obey the law, and you do faithful deeds, but out of gratitude, out of love. Does that make sense? I hear so often nowadays, teach us about grace, just grace. Don't tell us about what we should do after grace. They're missing the point of grace. When you receive God's grace, you want to, you get to, in this true open hand faith, you want to love him more. You want to serve him more. You're not obeying less. You obey just the same, if not more, but for the right reason, in response to the grace. So therefore, in conclusion, let me say it again. Jesus Christ set you free from the weight of guilt by his own righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I was really thrown off early on in my message. Did not see that coming, but thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping me focused. I believe that you have used these imperfect words, imperfect delivery of your slave to bring about the glory of Jesus. I pray for everyone in this room, everyone joining their live stream, that they will come to you, that they will feel and hear and understand that you are calling them. Lift the weight of guilt, we ask. And we boast in your grace all the more. And may we truly, truly demonstrate that we have the saving faith by boasting and obeying. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.